I have talked so much in my life, but I found that if I take silence, I will learn more. One of the ways that I found this secret, it was when I started learning about Buddha, when he suffers for over 6 years based on my studies. If I'm wrong, then later on our guest would correct me. Then he started sitting on silence under the tree of Buddha, if I'm not wrong. Then my guest still will have the permission to correct me. Then he found so much, and he understand the life from after suffering, and his questions got answered. That's how I recently am doing. I try to speak less, listen more. So today I would decide to have my guest to share his experience. We have a guest by the name of Tapawanya Sudatta. If I'm wrong again, you can correct me. He's from Sri Lanka and he's practicing Buddhism. Our program will be about the patience, the suffering, the love, the family of the Buddhism. And we're going to try to get the belief systems closer and learn from Buddhism how they come across the patience, the balance in their life. I would like to invite Sudatta to my program, Mingle the Single, and I would like you first introduce yourself, please. Yes.
Thank you, Juliet. I'm Tapawanaya Sutadhara. Well, people call me at the temple as Bante Sutadhara or Bante, but I'm fine with whatever the way you call me. And I was born in Sri Lanka, and now I'm 62 years old, and I became a monk in my very young age. I was 9, and then I continued to study as a Buddhist monk, and then later I had different roles as a teacher and as a teacher of linguistics and other languages. And so now I am at Tapawanaya International Buddhist Center and Unlock Mission in Satikoi, Ventura, California. At Unlock Mission, I am working as the director. Tapawanaya International Buddhist Center, I am the president there.
Thank you so much for accepting my invitation. I had the one word from Buddha that he said, if someone truly loves themselves, they can never hurt others. When I was reading this, it was really getting in my soul, my veins, my skin. I was wondering what I have done in my life. Have I ever hurt somebody or not? What a deep statement it is. I would like you to a little bit go about what a Buddhist should do in this world. What are those statements that they supposed to... I have heard some 10 or 5, I'm not sure about that number, that rules that they supposed to follow. And then how this has been affecting your life, this statement, if somebody truly love themselves, they can never hurt others.
Yes, I think you perfectly got the idea that really the Buddha, asks you to put your foot into the other shoe and see how it is. But at the same time, that when we look at this way of life as Buddha taught us, it is to not to harm yourself and not to harm others. Live a life like that, because our ultimate goal is happiness. If in that inner situation, can I be happy if another person is hurt? Or can I be happy if I am hurt? And so that's the goal, is happiness. I always say that Buddha didn't want us to suffer. He talked about suffering because he wanted to get rid of it.
He was child of a king and queen. His mother passed away the 7 days of his birth. Then he, based on the history and based on the knowledge that I got, he started the life by suffering. Without having a mother, he grown up, and his dad, who was a king, didn't let him to touch even a dust. So he was not aware of the suffering. But at the age of, if not mistaken, 35 years old, he decided to leave the kingdom. And then he went to travel all around. He saw the sickness. He saw the death. He saw so much pain, poverty. And then he decided to leave with a slice of bread or rice, if I'm not mistaken, a day. So he suffered truly. And even they said the dime of his sight was blurry, and he lost his skin, his bones, and everything that he had. He was really truly suffered till the time that a woman stopped her, and then he stopped him and gave some rice and told him that eat. And the Christianity would say that is a grace. But that time that he took the rice and milk, he found out the joy of the time that he had with his father, and he found that all the suffering that he'd gone through didn't give him the right answers that he was looking, because he was considered as a seeker. He was looking after so many, and he decided to sit under the tree of the Buddha. Talk about that moment that he decided to leave the kingdom, then he decided to sit under the tree, then what happened on those days, and he get back to the regular life. Because as if I studied, is not something non-ordinary. There is no particular miracle that we are chasing. Even the light of the sun is already a miracle. We're supposed not to look for extraordinary things. Whole the Buddhism is based on being ordinary, not extraordinary. Talk about kind of whole life of Buddhism from someone who's practicing already the Buddha.
Well, when you look at the story of the Buddha, it's true that he lost his mother well after 7 days of his birth. But well, he didn't know, I think, he lost his mother, because he had a mother.
Oh, wow.
And my mother who didn't take care of her own child. Instead, he was breastfed by his mother, who was the sister of his biological mother, and also the queen, next queen of his father. And then, well, when he was living a life of a prince, father wanted to blind him from all the negativities in life. And but he was a smart child, and also he was always a person who was thinking out of the box, I think. And then later I'm sure that he was thinking about, like, okay, how this happiness is becoming just temporary, and how can I make it a permanent happiness? Because in life, it's true that we are born and we live a life with birth. We get old, we get sick, and we die. So if we are subject to all these, how can we find a permanent happiness? Can we change that? And then, when he was 29 years old, he decided to leave looking for this. And then, 6 years he experimented. His life, that 6 years, here and there, is in his teachings, we find the stories about how what he did. And it's true that, as you said, that he just lived just using just one grain for the day. But it was the standard belief that if you want to get the permanent happiness, you should suffer. Give all suffering to your body. And there were 5 ascetics, actually. They were waiting for the hero to become the Buddha by torturing himself and then tell them how he did it, and that then they can get enlightened. But after a while, after every experience, actually he was not blind. He was very observant. He was making notes on every experience, because he was mindful. That mindfulness was all throughout his whole 6 years. He was not just taking things for granted. He was always experimenting, and then found out, no, torturing oneself or torturing anyone else in sacrifice for myself happiness is not the right way. And then he gave up, and he came to a moderate lifestyle. Earlier when we started, that you mentioned that by being quiet, then only you can be happy, and you can get rid of suffering. Really, it gives us the idea that, okay, that silence means stillness. When you are completely still, then your body is relaxed to the maximum, and then the mind finds its home. Then the stillness is achieved. So that's what technically we in all these Buddhist scriptures find in the Buddha's teachings, that okay, you have to meditate, and you sit down and you meditate and you attain what they call samadhi or stillness, and then you can, when you reach the stillness only, then you can see things clearly. Until you see things clearly enough, you cannot make any changes. That's the Buddha's teaching. So he saw that not by changing the result, but by changing the course, you can make changes for like more long term changes. That is why he started this looking at this all causal reactions. So for every action there is a reaction. So every then action become reaction, reaction become action, and react the cause the reaction. So if you are, I mean, if I am upset of one, then all the ripples are going to that end. So to do that, to get rid of that, we need to start changing the process completely the other way. How do we change this? It's a Buddha didn't try to change the in the whole suffering part, that not just material changes, or not just changes that to like fixing things, like when it is too cold you build a house and you enter the house and stay there. Those are accepted things. But the cause of the suffering is that okay, if we don't have a house, if we don't have a shelter, then how do we handle this, the cold weather? So for that I have to change my personality completely, attitudes completely. And then to change that, he gave a path that you have to change your behavior pattern. So your behavior patterns, when you change the way of thinking, way of talking, way of doing. So that was his path, or what you call, mostly it's known as Eight Noble Path.
Mm-hmm.
Always we are taking information through our eyes, ears, nose, also
taste.
The mouth,
mm-hmm.
taste, and body and mind. So those are that information that comes, our experience, always pleasant or unpleasant, and pleasant things we like, unpleasant things we don't like. So then we try to push away, then resistance, The other we grab and we crave, we greed for us. This is the tension that we create. So to create that, get rid of that, we have to change our way of thinking.
So basically what we are suffering from, like imagine somebody lies to us and we don't like that.
Mm-hmm.
How I need to change that to think, okay, I heard a lie, why I suppose not to suffer? Should I understand the fear of that person who told lie to me? Should I understand the worries of him or her of truth? Should I go on their shoes and understanding the circumstances that they were going through that caused them to tell lie? To make us to feel, okay, let me forgive that person. How I am supposed to face? Should I supposed to go and interfere that person saying, oh, why did you lie to me? I'm just asking. Whatever that, because as of I read from Buddha, he says that whatever is suffering, you need to go and get the result why you are getting suffered. Yes, I don't like to be heard something that is not truth. Okay, is it raining? No, it's not raining. And you go out and it's raining, so you come across, oh, they told me a lie. So how we need to change? That change part I didn't get. Maybe I need to study more about Buddhism, but...
Well, when someone lies, actually, it's more serious than you break the trust between. You break your the covenant,
mm-hmm.
or agreement between
the souls.
So, yeah, souls. Mm-hmm. Then that way, well, Buddha said that that slowly, okay, you can forgive the person. But you don't have to stay with the person.
Mm.
And the forgiving part and staying with the person are two different things. It's like that, we love people, but that doesn't mean that if someone does a serious crime, then that person shouldn't be put in jail. Actually, the jail is not a place for, according to the Buddha's teachings, is not a place for torturing the person. It is a person person to have some free time to look back, reflect back his or her own action, and then correct his or her action. That is a time that we are giving them, and also sometimes some are born with more towards those kind of habits. Then you have to get rid of these people.
Mm-hmm.
So if you don't have an equal like you, or if you don't have a person who is better than you, don't associate with the people who are so negative all the time.
Mm-hmm.
So that's it's forgiving part is different from that, how you organize your life.
Mm-hmm. I'm gonna read some rules that he says: no killing of any alive, no stealing, no sexual abuse or other form of addiction, abusing food, no lies, no gossiping, not being able to control our mind would cause all of those to happen. No jokes that hurt people, useless speeches supposed to be cut. And then these are the ones that I have heard that will be able to make us a happier life. And he put some ignorance rule. That ignorance rule was kind of not ignoring that problem, basically having control of your mind, not getting involved with that pain, not letting that pain soak you in. Let's get to our main reason of this show, which is about making a family. How Buddhist people marry, how do you make love? They should couple, can they marry a couple of times? Or are they supposed to marry one? Are they supposed to only marry the Buddhist? If somebody is marrying the Buddhist, and then in which age basically they are allowed to like find out the marriage right for their kids? Is it a parent's permission must, or they are free to choose their partner?
Well, the in early during the time of the Buddha, he was not trying to impose all these kind of the rules.
We just have 5 minutes. I just want to mention.
What he did was actually the respect your relationship.
Mm-hmm.
That relationship is that if you live a life of lie, then you are not living you are not respecting your relationship. So that's in Buddhist countries, we find all these sometimes local cultural practices are continued, and then we have arranged marriages, and also nowadays more like boys and girls get along with each other and have a love affair, and then finally they get married. So it's well, sometimes parents don't accept it, but later they somehow reconcile. So that's number one is that the relationship, you should respect the other person, as well as we earlier said, don't hurt yourself and don't hurt the other.
So you don't force somebody who's not Buddhist to convert Buddhism if they want to marry a Buddhist person.
No.
But if they choose, that's their own choice. Yeah?
Yes. There is no force. There are a lot of intermarriages. Then many, Sri Lanka, majority is a Buddhist country. But there are a sizable community of all Hindus and also Christians, Catholic and other forms of Christianity is followed, and then Muslims.
Mm-hmm.
I have met intermarriages, the people from different communities that I have met people, then they are living a very good life, very happy life.
Very nice. And we have just 3 minutes left our program. I would like you to Just open up some words from Buddha for our listeners, so they would find out much more interesting to go. And I found very interesting the Buddhism because I learned so much. And I found the main thing that I learned recently, if you don't lose everything you want to earn, you need to lose first to earn first, particularly for learning process. You need to give out so many. I would like you to talk about the things that you learned for this couple of minutes that it left.
In a relationship, actually the life is a relationship with yourself and with others. We have different forms of relationships. This marriage is the one kind of relationship. So that basically what we have to do is that always be away from negativities, and also always develop positive thoughts, and also clear your mind. That's the teachings of the Buddha. If someone can do that, then you achieve the Buddha's mind.
I'm gonna read something. Never both be angry at the same time. Never yell at each other. Never your partner win the argument. If you criticize, do it lovingly. Never bring up past mistakes. Don't neglect each other. Never go to sleep with an argument unsettled. Those are 7 rules of happy marriages that I have heard from Buddha, which it is really true. And so many of them, when you see, it's saying that, okay, please close your mouth, stay in silent, things will change, you will see things different way. I was wondering some other question. I think we don't have that much of a time, so I would just consider as this was Juliet Alaverdi with the Mingle the Single with Sudhatra and from Buddhism believers. And thank you for listening.